I have two passages this morning from John's Gospel, following in chapters 14 and chapters 15. Jesus speaks of what will be, and secondly, what will be now. From chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What will be? And in chapter 15, a few verses later, Jesus said, this is my commandment to you, in effect, for the moment, or in the meantime, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends, for you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Love one another. Preserve the family and friendship. And there will come a day when we will be called home. It's one of my more enduring memories of being in a leadership role here early on. From almost the first Sunday that I began doing this in this place, I would take note of two smallish, slow-moving little old ladies walking in, holding each other by the arm and elbow. Sit, both of them, they would, right over where Millie is sitting right about now. And I remember asking Frances Camp, who are those two? And Frances said, well, that's Reese and Johnny. They're the Coleman girls. And then they proceeded to tell me, you know, what being the Coleman girls was all about. Being members of the family with two or three others, including her own, Frances said, that, you know, made this place what it is, that settled this community. They were John's girls. And John was one of the first, and along with her family, made this community what it is. Well, that's how it's always been in the settlement of any part of this country. It was the families of people that came from someplace else, looking for a home, looking to put down roots. And it was a combination of church and community that made these towns, or even these regions, grow and thrive. Immigrants from Germany settled in Pennsylvania because they found a place that reminded them of home. And they drew together, put down roots, made it work. Immigrants from Scandinavia needed to get as far as Minnesota before they found a place that was as miserable as the one they left. But they put down roots and found a home. The really smart German immigrants found a place that looked and reminded them of home where it didn't snow, and they wound up in the hill country. Very good idea.
My ancestors?
As it were. The good Lutherans from Fredericksburg, and Betty's found her way here, and we know you're one of the new kids, but before too long, you know, you'll settle in. But it's the combination of family and church that's been responsible for a great deal of social support. I mean, you look at the regional influences of religion, and you have the Protestants in the upper Midwest, and the Catholics in the Northeast, and the Hispanic Catholics in the South, as it were. And there's an impact of kinship and church that really makes a difference in how people live their lives. It's an odd sort of a thing, and, you know, this isn't the statistic I'm sure you were, you know, expecting to hear. But San Antonio, Texas is one of the major cities in this country where the percentage of women who are arrested that at the same time test positively for illegal drugs is very low. And one prevailing theory about why that is the influence of Roman Catholicism in San Antonio, which leads fewer women into the type of crime that goes with illegal drug use, that being prostitution. And so the influence of church on community and culture at a level of measuring the impact on whole communities is, it's possible to detect it as you look at the way in which moral communities come to settle and integrate and support and in some sense even control the behavior of those who are connected. And in one sense, this community would not be what it was were it not for the Coleman family and others that created this community and set some standards by which we still live. But that same kind of support and integration is a part of what a congregation is about too. It's not just kinship and community, it's also about congregation. And the people that congregate here each week bear responsibility one unto another. We share our joys, we share our concerns, we hold on to each other, we hold each other up, we high-five each other. And there's been a lot of that in the course of even just this last year. Neil is not the only one who lost his mom this year. Deidre is in the same position. Wilson went off to college. Melissa went off to the convent. Leah and Matthew were born this year. And so it goes. Isaac was in church a couple weeks ago wearing the uniform. And we have certainly all been aware of the presence and the support and held in prayer those who've worn the uniform of the United States military coming from this church, well, at least since PFC McCrary was heading toward Normandy. And we honor those stories, and it's a part of who we are as a community of God's people. It's how it's supposed to work. It's what Jesus had in mind when he said, I call you no longer servants, but friends. And it's through the power of friendship that we find the wit and the will and the strength to hold on to one another, sometimes holding one another up, sometimes just enjoying the moment of great joy, great sorrow, anxiety, concern, relief. Relief when cancer loses for the moment, and we think of Nelda, my buddy Charlie. Am's new in town, and kinship and sisterhood once again is an image that characterizes what we're about. Jeff passed his first preliminary examination and goes from Dr. Wannabe to probably Dr. Gonna-be. It's how it's supposed to work with kinship and friendship and community and church. And now Johnny and Reese are back together again. I don't know what time worship starts in the heavenly realm, but I expect they've got a mighty nice choir. And they're taking their part in preparing the place for us that Jesus has promised. And the promised room in the heavenly mansion is one we'll get to soon enough. And the promise is that where he is, we will be also. But at the same time, where we are, even now, he is. For we are the manifestation of the reality that where two or more are gathered, there he is in our midst, sharing our joys, sharing our sorrows, calming our fears, and moving us from today to tomorrow. So the mansion is being prepared, and in the meantime, we have the blessing of family, church, and community. And for now, that'll do fine. Amen.